one of perhaps the most poignant, troubling, challenging episodes in the Torah is the end of this week's Parsha, the lesson of the binding of Yitzchak, or the offering of Yitzchak, where Hashem comes to Avraham and says, please take your son, your only one, and bring him as go to the land of Moriah, and there offer him as an offering on the mountain, one of the mountains that I will delineate to you. And Avraham takes his camels, and his donkeys and his people, and they travel, and there's no sheep, but there are all the preparations for a sacrifice, a knife and wood, and he sees the mountain from afar, and then he tells his lads to stay with the donkey, and he goes on with Yitzchak, gets to the mountain, he puts Yitzchak on the altar, and he ties him on the altar. And Yitzchak beforehand asked Avraham, where's the sheep? And Avraham gives him a vague answer. God will yet show where and how it'll all happen. And then as Avraham lifts up the knife to offer Yitzchak, a voice comes out from heaven and says, don't send your hand to the boy. Don't do anything to him. I see that you are willing to give your son. I know now that you fear me, and you don't need to do it. And instead, there is a ram, and Avraham offers the ram instead. Yitzchak comes off of the altar. And the parsha then ends telling us of the birth of Rivka and the children of Betuel. And it's a difficult section. It's many, many questions abound about the Akedah, about the binding of Isaac. Rabbi Shalom, get his last name, the author of Nesivo Shalom, Slonim Rebbe, he has a whole beautiful article here about the binding of Isaac and about trials and difficulties of faith in general that emerge from this. So I thought we might all benefit to learn it together. Maybe that'll help give us support and inspiration when we go through our trials. Get through with our faith intact. So this is on page Kuftes. The Parshas Akedas Yitzchak, in the section of the story of the binding of Isaac, Rabu Hadiyukim, there are many questions, many inferences, many seemingly scriptural peculiarities that can be raised. Gracious, first of all, the Mishnah says in Ethics of Our Fathers in Pirkei Avos that Avraham was tested with 10 tests. The Lama Rak ben Yisayon Zeh Ne'emar Halashon V'ha'elokim Nisa Es Avraham. Only this, the last test, does the Torah use the language of and God tested Avraham. The earlier tests, it was God said to Avraham, Lech Lecha, go. It doesn't say, this. By the way, this is a test. God told Avraham, go. Or God basically pushed Avraham to go down to Egypt because when he got to Israel, there was no food. Again, the Torah doesn't tell us, by the way, this was a test. It just says there was no food and Avraham went down to Egypt. Why, when it comes to the last test, does the Torah first give us a heading? And it says, after these things, V'ha'elokim nisas Avraham. God tested Avraham. Apparently this test is the ultimate test, is the great representative of what a test is. Gam, second question. Maduak siv voha Elokim Nisa. Why here does it say voha Elokim Nisa? Elokim is the name of God of justice. Hamor al midas hadin vahayira. That's a name of God that indicates the attribute of justice, of fear. V'ilu banisayon shalech lecha. Whereas when it came to the first test, according to some counts, the test of go for yourself, Nizkar Shem Havaya, the name of God that is mentioned is the name of God Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is the name of God of mercy, of compassion. Here it says, Vayomer Hashem El Avraham. Hashem told Avraham, Shehu Shem HaChesed, V'ha'ahava, that's the name of God of kindness and of love. Kein Sarach Bir, we also need to understand. Madu Aktiv, why does it say, Vohe Elokim Nisa es Avraham, and God tested Avraham? Hare HaNisayon HaYagam LiYitzchak, the test wasn't just for Avraham, the test was also for Yitzchak, who's going to be offered. Kedivrei Chazal Shenevi Rashi, like a Gemara that Rashi quotes. The Gemara says, Achar HaDvarim HaEla, the Torah began this section with the phrase, after these things. Yesh Mirab Oseinu, some of our sages explain, Omin, they say, Achar Dvarav Shal Yishmael, after the words of Yishmael. Shahaya Mispair Al Yitzchak Shemal Ben Shlosha Esrei Shana Velo Micha. Yishmael, Avram's oldest son, was telling Yitzchak, by the way, you know, I'm really greater than you. Because how old were you when you were circumcised? 8 days? Did you have a choice? No. It was done to you by your parents. But I was 13 when I was circumcised. I could have said no, and I didn't. I willfully went and circumcised myself. So I'm greater than you. So what did Yitzchak respond? Amar lo Yitzchak. Yitzchak said back to him, Be'ever echad atam miyareini. With one limb, with the fact that you were willing to have a little skin cut off of you, you're trying to frighten me. Ilu amar li HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if God were to tell me, Zvachatz mechalafanai, offer your entire self before me, lo hayisi ma'akev, I wouldn't have held back. I won't hold it back. I would give my whole self. So God said, well, Yitzchak, if you're asking to give your whole self, okay, here's the test. That's what Rashi said. So it's a test for Yitzchak. V'hainu sh'anisayon hayagam liYitzchak. The test is also for Yitzchak. So why in the Torah, umadu ha-misyachis ha-nisayon dafka al Avraham? Why in the Torah is the emphasis that Vohe Elokim nisa es Avraham, God tested Avraham, when really the test was not only for Avraham, it's also a test for Yitzchak. Uve'etzem adavar tzarech lahavin. And furthermore, we need to understand. V'shem ma ha-yitzrichim odes ha-nisayon hazeh. Why a need for another test? Achar ha-nisayon shel Ur Kasdim, after the great test of Ur Kasdim, in the city Ur Kasdim, she'Avraham Avinu nichnas kulu l'toch kivshan ha'esh, that Avraham Avinu allowed himself to be thrown into a burning furnace, al-manashli, sarif l'gamrei, thinking that there was no way he would be saved. According to the Midrash, Avraham's first moment in the spotlight was when he was a young man. His father once left town, and his father was an idol salesman. So Avram believed in the one God, knowing that the idols are meaningless. So he took a sledgehammer, and he went around smashing every idol in the entire store. Then he took the sledgehammer, and he put it into the hand of the largest idol there, the only one that he left standing. So his father came back and said, "What's going on? What happened to all the idols?" Avram said, they got into a fight. Each one was saying they're greater than the other. So the largest idol said, I'll prove to you I'm the greatest. He smashed all the others. The father said, well, how could that happen? All the idols are wood and stone. They don't have the ability to move. So Avram said, well, if they don't have the ability to move, why pray to them? I can't obviously help you. So the word of this behavior eventually reached the king, Nimrod, who himself was a deity. And Nimrod called in Avraham, and Nimrod said, is it true that you're going about saying that there are no such things as pagan gods, and there's only one God? Avraham said, of course. Nimrod said, if you won't recant, I'll throw you into a burning furnace. The Midrash says that Avraham said, I don't care. And he threw him into the burning furnace. That was the first great test. And Avraham walked out unscathed, unharmed. We need to imagine what it was like for Avram to be thrown into the furnace. As the Shem Yishmuel and other Hasidic masters explain, till that point in history, there had never been a miraculous salvation. Who was saved from a great calamity till that point?
Noah.
But Noah built a teva. He built an ark. It's somewhat natural. You have a lot of water, so you're in a protected building. But to imagine that fire not burn, that it never happened. So here Avram believes in God, but he has no way of imagining that God will ever overrule the rules of nature. That had never happened to this point. So when Nimrod tells Avraham, either you recant or you be thrown into the furnace, Avram doesn't have at the back of his head some thought, oh, well, you know, God will save me. He can't be thinking that because nothing like that had ever happened in history. There had never been a miraculous salvation. Ever since that event, any person placed in a moment of trial can always think, well, you know, maybe God will save me. Maybe God will perform a miracle. Fire will be cooled down. But till that point, such a thing had never happened. So Avram went in fully thinking there's no hope at all for me to come out, but I'm going to do this for God's sake. I'm going to totally go in and let myself be incinerated for God's sake. That was the degree of the dedication of Avram, to go in without any hope of being saved. To go in because that's what's necessary to sanctify God's name. So once Avram's willing to do that, so, you know, why does he need to be tested further with yet another test, the test of the Akedah, of the offering of his son? We say in our tradition, this test of the Akedah, who Yoser Gadol Minisayon Ur Kasdim, is even more difficult than the test of Ur Kasdim. Furthermore, we also need to understand Madiktiv at the end of the story of the Akedah. The Torah says that God proclaims, Ataya Dati, now I know, Ki Yirei Elokim Ata, that you fear heaven. Hari Midaso Shel Avram Avinu Hi Midasa Chesed VeAhava. Avram Avinu was all about love of God, all about kindness to man, all about warmth and generosity and giving. So if the point is that now Avram has shown his true heights, so shouldn't it say, Ata Yadati, now I know, Ki Ohev Elokim Ata, that you love God, not that you fear God. Fear God, that's Yitzchak. It should say at the end of the binding of Isaac, that now I see that you're really reaching your highest levels, you love God. O Tzarech Bir, furthermore we need a question. We need to answer, Madikasiv Aparsha Gimel Pa'am Nevayelchu Yachta. Three times it says they went together. B'tchila, originally. Then, V'achar she'elas Yitzchak v'ayyaseh le'ola. After Yitzchak asked, where is the sheep for the offering? V'yomer Avram, God, Avram answers, Elokim yireh lo aseh li'ola b'ni. God will show the offering. V'yelchu shnehem, I'm sorry for the small print at this point, I was signing and save on paper. V'yelchu shnehem yachtav. They both went together. Uliachar Akedah, and after the binding of Isaac, it says a third time, Vayashav Avram el Na'arav, Avram returned to his young lads, Vayakumu, they got up, Vayakhu Yachdab, and they went together. Again, what is the Torah trying to teach us by saying three times that they went together? The Eish Lefari Sha'inim answers the Svanimer Rebbe. Our sages have taught us, Asara Nisyonos Nisnasa Avraham Avinu, Ba'amad Bekulam. Our forefather Avram had 10 tests, and he survived all of them, he succeeded in all of them. Lohodiyah, to inform you, Kama Chibaso Shal Avraham Avinu Lifnei HaMakom, how beloved our forefather Avram is before God. What does that mean? V'chasav Alzeh B'Sefer Emuna U'Bitachon HaMiyuchos L'Ramban. There's a book that we have a tradition was written by the Ramban. It's called Faith and Trust. And it says the following, Zeloshona. V'al tachshov, don't think, Shema alasu shal Avram avinu haisa gdola kol kach lifnei ha-makom, mitzad shekiyem kol ha-Torah. Don't think the greatness of Avraham was because he fulfilled the entire Torah. Sharei i'efshar shalo haya b'Yisrael mi shekiyem kol ha-Torah. There were others in the Jewish people who fulfilled the entire Torah. Shekvar hayu behen shemesu b'itiyos shel nachas. There were Jews who died with no sin. They died because of the advice of the serpent, because all mankind has to die, but not because they had any sins. So what was the greatness of Avraham? Aval chibaso haisa lifnei ha-makom lefi sha'amad ba'asara nisyonos. Avraham's love before God, and he's so beloved to God, because he survived, because he succeeded, because he thrived through 10 challenges, through 10 trials. Vahaini, what does this mean? Shahasara nisyonos, the 10 tests, megalimu modiim eschibaso shel Avraham avinu lifnei hamakom. The tests reveal how beloved Avraham was before God. Aval kol madregosav, but all of his high levels, umashakiyim es kol haTorah kula adayin ein bahem lohodia godol chibasu lifnei hamakom. That he fulfilled the Torah, that doesn't show his favor before God. V'habir bazeh, Lahavin godel inyan hanisyonos. Shekiyam kol ha-Torah eino mevias ha-adam lamala shal amidu b'nisyonos. Yesh lefarish al-pi madza amrinan meha bal shem tov ha-kadosh. Shebishah shemenasim es ha-adam noklimi menu es kol ha-ha-aros v'amadrego shalo v'usharui az b'katnos ha-mochin. What is the meaning of a test? The Baal Shem Tov taught, the meaning of a test is that when God puts a person in a test, a person doesn't feel inspired. A person feels no motivation. A person feels that all of his understanding or her understanding, all of their feelings of, it all makes sense, there's purpose, this is why I'm doing it, it's all gone. I don't know why I'm doing it. It doesn't make any sense. I don't feel anything. I don't feel closeness to God. It's all gone. That's a test. A test is when a person doesn't feel any motivation. A person doesn't feel any inspiration. A person doesn't feel any passion for God, and God is asking great, great demands of man. Our generation especially has tests. Especially. But if a man feels inspired, close to God, understands, I'm here in this world to serve God, that's life. Life is to be fulfilling God's commands. And somebody comes and says, look, the only way you'll be able to fulfill God's command is if you make a little bit of an investment. It's going to be a little hard for you. But he feels inspired. He feels excited. He realizes this is life, and you know the investment that's being asked of him is meaningless compared to life. So he does it. That's not a test. That's great. That's wonderful. It's a very high level. But a test means, what a test really is when he doesn't feel anything. He's not motivated. He doesn't feel any passion. He doesn't understand what's going on. He can't motivate himself to do it, and he does it anyway. That's a real test.
And he subjugates his ego so that it's not him at all?
It's more than just subjugation of ego. Yeah, that's a big piece. He's doing it because God asked, even though he doesn't want to, he doesn't feel anything. But it's very hard for a person, even without ego, to do something which is difficult when I'm not motivated to do it. I'm not motivated to do what's difficult. I don't understand why. I don't feel any passion. I don't feel any excitement. I don't feel any spirituality. What's the key phrase in the section of the Akedah? It's when the Torah tells us, Vayares hamako merachok. The simple meaning is, he saw the place, he saw the mountain from a distance. But the Zohar says, Vayares hamako means God. He saw God from a distance. His whole life, Avram felt close to God. When he was there in front of Nimrod, and Nimrod said, are you in fact really burnt, destroying idols? Are you denying that I am a God? Avram said yes, because he felt God close to him. I'll throw you into the fire. Okay, so I have God. I don't care what you do to me. But now he didn't feel God close to him. He felt that God was far from him. God was at a distance. He didn't feel any spiritual closeness. He didn't feel any inspiration. Why is this? The Sfas Emes gives a suggestion. The Sfas Emes says, we know Avram's attribute is love of God. What does it mean to love someone? Here's the Sfas Emes' definition. To love someone else means that I'm so attracted and so pulled to this person that their will is to me already a command. Whatever they want, that's what I want to do. I'm so attracted to this person. This person wants the following. I want the following to happen for them. Whatever they want, I want to do. Avram Avinu was someone who had such a love for God that even subconsciously he could already intuit what God wanted of him. Maybe that's the deeper meaning of the Midrash. The Midrash says that Avram fulfilled the 248 commandments, the positive commandments, even before the Torah was given. Why? Because Avram had this deep love for God, so attached, so drawn to the will of God, that the mitzvos are what God wants of us to do. Avram already intuited them. He felt that. He wanted to do what God wants. Whatever God wants, Avram wanted to do. Naturally attracted to what God wanted. And it was his whole being. He had nothing else to his personality. It was just to run after whatever God wants. What happens here? God comes and God tells Avram, take your son. Baha'alehu sham la'ola. Offer him up to be an ola. But does God really want to offer Isaac? Does God really want Isaac to be slaughtered and burnt and offered as a sacrifice? No. God eventually is going to say, don't do it. Abraham subconsciously is always following God's will. That's what leads him to do everything, because he loves God. His subconscious is just running after the will of God.
But hasn't Abraham then intuited that he's really not going to end up sacrificing?
That's the great challenge. Here the words were to him, offer him as a sacrifice. Consciously, Abraham knows that what that means is he has to take his son, tie him up, slaughter him, and offer him as a sacrifice. But subconsciously, he knows, or his body senses, I shouldn't say he knows, his body senses, he feels, that's not what God wants. So everything else that he did his whole life was because he felt that's what God wants, and he's pulled after what God wants. But here he's not pulled after it. His body is not pulling him to do this because that's not what God really wants. He doesn't have any feelings. His spiritual feelings were always based on what God wants, but God doesn't really want this. So he feels conflicted. That's the great challenge. That's the great test. To not feel inspired. But this is what I, as far as I can tell, as far as I know, this is what God wants of me. I don't feel anything. Every part of me is saying, don't do it. But this is what my mind tells me I should do. So I'm going to go do it. That's a challenge.
But he's conflicted because he's told he's going to have a son with a great nation and prodigy. So on the one hand, he knows that. And on the other hand, he knows he has to sacrifice his son.
Facts.
That's also an intellectual conflict, right? On an intellectual level, there's a tremendous conflict. But the Svasemis' point is that on an emotional, there is Avram's inspiration always comes from being attached to the will of God. But here, since the will of God is not to do this, so he loses his inspiration here. He doesn't have any religious fervor. When a person has religious fervor, religious excitement, yeah, there can be tremendous demands. A person's excited, they can go do those demands. But when a person's not excited, and to live up to the great demands, that's a very great challenge. It's very, very difficult.
But I would say he's excited. I'm not supposed to understand that, with all due respect. I would say he's excited. I think the test there is that he doesn't object. In other words, he subjects himself to God's will. I mean, if it happened to me, I have to sacrifice yourself. Hashem, I don't understand. You told me I'm going to have a future, and yet you tell me I'm getting to sacrifice my future. It doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
The test was he didn't say anything. That was the test.
That's the test.
He subjugated all those feelings.
You're right.
You know,
that's also true.
He subjugated all those feelings and said, your will is my will.
That's also true.
I'm going to do it, I do it.
That's also true. But what the Nesiva Shalom is emphasizing is that what the Baal Shem Tov teaches, that a real test is when a person doesn't feel inspired. The Svasemis was adding the reason why Avram didn't feel inspired was because Avram's feelings of inspiration come from the fact that his being is attuned, as it were, to the same frequency as God's will. And God's will really is not to offer Isaac. So he doesn't feel inspired. Yeah? Yisrael?
There are a lot of things that this triggers, and I'm not sure that all of them can show in a minute. But first of all, you know, I remember when I was young, there are a lot of places that I was interviewed, and the questions were not meant to be answered. You know, like you're on a boat, there is 10 kids, there is a priest, there is a rabbi, and there's a sick woman. You can save only 5, what are you going to save? And everybody was trying to reason about which is the right answer. There was never a right answer. Mm-hmm. They just wanted you to, you know, eat your kishka and deal with impossible situations. So to that degree, I feel that there are things in the Torah that with all the insight, we can understand the complexity, but we to put ourselves to find what is really the test. And then to come to say, why is Avram more than, you know, take Asar Arugei Malchut. I learned that they're all dying in front of each other, and somebody said, I want to die first. So, you know, that's a test. Who is saying that what test is better than the other? And who are we to apply some kind of a measuring stick? I think this is just things to learn from and not to compare who is more. Adam started a company. I don't know if Bill Gates would be hired to Microsoft, but he started a company. Then, you know, Avram started the company, he has his chut yotzen. He is close to Hashem, follows Hashem. Then to say that he's passing the test because he's not inspired, but didn't God build the whole Jewish nation from somebody who was inspired? So he's not in tune now this moment, he's not in the frequency. I think we're trying to find an answer, you know, like there are two variables and there's only one line. There are many possible answers, and we're
we need to learn as many as we can, definitely. So let's see what the Nesiv HaShalom adds further.
No, it is a test, but we don't know what part of it is more of a test than others.
Ki b'shas gadlus hamochin, at a time when the mind is expanded. What he means by the mind being is, when he says the phrase the mind being expanded, it means when the mind is inspired. So then, ein zechidush, then it's not something so novel in misgabrin ve'omdin b'nisayon, if a person can overcome a difficult request. A person's inspired, they're excited. Ikar ha'nisayon, the primary challenge, huim omid b'zeh gam be'ez chashechos v'katnus hamochen, is how is a person's commitment, even when it's dark, when he doesn't feel excited, Zem mivchan al madregaso ha'amitis ba'avodas Hashem. That's the question of what a person truly has in service of God. You know what a person truly is when you get down to the point of the core. What stays in all situations is what's truly there. What a person will do when they're excited, it's wonderful. That's not ultimate truth. Ultimate truth is what a person will do when they're excited and when they're not excited. They'll also do it. When they're demotivated, when they have the opposite of motivation, and they'll also do, that's what a person truly is. That's a person's essence. Therefore.
Just to clarify, is this katnus hamochin coming because of the akedah, or it's coming along with it? In other words, Hashem not only is giving him this test, but he's specifically taking away godless hamochin so that it should really be the test.
That's the way he's presenting it, that Hashem is taking away the inspiration so that it would be a real test. The Sfasemes went a little deeper. The Sfasemes says the very nature of the Akedah is going to cause a loss of inspiration, because the source of Avraham's inspiration is that he is attuned to God's will. God's will is actually not to offer Isaac. Since the ultimate will of God is not to offer Isaac, so Avram being attuned to that will is going to feel a desire not to do it. So that's actually the source of the loss of inspiration.
Is after the Akedah, Avram changed in his relationship with Hashem? Is it like the end of the honeymoon here?
We'll have to see. Let's see. Vahainu, and what this means is, Shahamadrega haru'uya sheyehudi tzarech lahasig ba'avodas Hashem, the real level a Jew has to reach in service of God. He shezo tehe etzlo b'china tivius. The real ideal is to reach a point where this becomes nature. Utchunas nefesh, that becomes character. She'ena tluya b'ha'aros v'hasagos, that's a person's character, independent of inspiration or comprehension or understanding. Ela rather kechelek, like a portion, mimahuso, of his essence, umitziuso, and his very existence. Ukmo, and just like, sha'adam ochel v'shose v'yashen, just like a person eats and drinks and sleeps. She'eno tzarech l'zeh mochen klal, a person doesn't need to be inspired in order to want to breathe. Elazetiviuso, that's nature. A person doesn't need to be inspired or motivated in order to eat. Kach tzricha avodas Hashem lihios tiviuso. Service of God has to become our nature. V'ahavaso es Hashem, and our love of God, v'yiraso, and our fear of God, yiyu etzlo tiviuso. It has to become nature. Vein bihioso b'mochen d'gadlos, whether we are inspired, uvein kasher shari b'mochen d'katnos, or whether we're not inspired. As the verse says, Kol atzmosai tomarna Hashem mikamocha, all of my limbs will proclaim God who is like you. The ha'atzamos, that the bones, sheinam achelek ha'magushim b'yoseh b'guf, that's the most physical part of the body. Gam hein tomarna Hashem mikamocha, they also should say God who is like you. The same way there could be the opposite. There can be sins that are engraved on bones, that a person's nature, a person's normal behavior, a person's constant behavior is sin. It can also happen. That all of my bones will proclaim God who is like you. That man's nature, man's nature would be proclaiming God who is like you, proclaiming God. That's why there are tests. At a time when we are not inspired, they reveal, in have we reached the level that our nature, have we reached the level that our nature is only to fulfill the will of God. V'hine and behold, Issa b'svarim akdoshim, the holy books teach us, Shema shenotlim me'atzadik is kol madregosav b'shas hanisayon, that the concept that they take away from a tzadik all of his high levels, all of his inspiration, at a moment of trial, zehu laka medregos shezach alehem al yidei siyata dishmaya. Those are only those levels that he has gotten as a gift from heaven. There are some levels of inspiration that a person gets as a gift from heaven. Aval ha'inyanim shemasar nafsho aleihem. But those levels that a tzaddik has, a righteous person has, not because God gave it to him as a gift, but because he earned them. How does somebody earn them? By sacrificing for them, by giving things up for them. For amal, things that he worked, misyagei aleihem tamid, and he works for them, then nisharim heim lo, they stay with him, ve'einam nitalim imenu afilu b'shas nisayon. Even at a moment of trial, a person can't lose those levels. V'inei midaso shel Avraham avinu, hi midasa ahava. We know that the attribute of our father Avraham was that he was the personality of love. K'mo d'chsiv, as it says, Avraham ohavi, Avraham who loves me. No other person has ever been called someone who loves God. Avram reached the love of God through working at it. That Avram always worked on trying to be filled with the love of God. The Slonimer Rebbe's ancestor, the Rebbe of Kubrin, once said, Is it a chiddush? Is it something new that our forefather Avraham wasn't burnt in the fires of the furnace of Ur Kazdim? That's not a chiddush. That's not unbelievable. What's unbelievable is that Ur Kazdim wasn't burnt from the fire of love of Avram Avinu, of how much Avram loved God. That's what's unbelievable. What's miraculous is that Avram, with all of his love of God, didn't just incinerate Ur Kazdim because there was so much love of God there. What does that teach us? That tells us a little bit of how much love of God Avram had. V'hinei, all of Avram's tests. How did Avram survive? He survived it through love of God. Through this he overcame all the tests. Since he achieved this level through work, he worked at being filled with love of God. So therefore it stayed with him even at the moment of trial. Because whatever a person works at, he doesn't lose even at a moment of trial. So the levels that a person works at and he earns, it doesn't leave him even at a moment of test. However, after all these tests, Haya ha-nisayon ha-acharon, nisayon ha-akeda, the test of the akeda was the most difficult, ha-kasha mikulam. She b'nisayon zu, in this test, lo yuchal lamod u'nidas ahav al-chud. Ki imrak b'nidas ha-yira. In this test, Avram had to arrive at the attribute of fear of God. V'zeu omro v'elokim nisa es Avram. Now we can get to the answers to all the questions. It says v'elokim, the attribute of justice. Shehu Hashem HaKadosh Shal Midas HaYira, that's the name of God of fear. Shanisayon Haya B'Midas HaYira, Livchon Es Madrigasu B'Yiras Hashem. The test demanded of him to arrive at fear of heaven. L'chein Gam Ne'amar Kan HaLashon Nisa. Here was a test. Shaloki B'Nisayon Shalach L'cha Mi'artzecha Shakasav Rak V'Yomer Hashem. Ki Kan Haya Nisayon Kashu B'Miyuchot Shayitzarech L'Zeh Gam Es Midas HaYira. Here it was especially difficult because he needed also fear of God. Mishum kach, and therefore, Omek ha-nisayon haya b'ikr l'Avram v'lo li-Yitzchak. This test was primarily to Avram, not to Yitzchak. Ki Yitzchak zumi daso yiro u'gvura. Ve'in z'chidish shama b'nisayon. Yitzchak, his whole attribute is fear of God. So of course, when fear of God is going to be called upon, Yitzchak can do that. Yitzchak always has fear within him.
But for,
yeah, but the Torah says, v'elokim nisa es Avram.
The test was
Avram's, even if the subject of the test was Yitzchak. The object of the test was Yitzchak, I should say. Elo ikir hanisayon haya la'Avraham ohavi. The primary test is to our forefather Avraham. Liros to see eich yamod b'nisayon shel midas hayira. Will he be able to find within himself fear of God? That's also why it says, "Ata yadati." Now I know, ki yirei Elokim ata, that you fear heaven. Ki yoso oy velokim niskala kvar benisyonos hakodim shamed bekulam bekoach midas ahava shalom. That he loved God, that was already clear in the other tests, because he survived those tests with love of God. Achin ata benisayon haakeda, in the test of the akeda, noda ki hu yirei Elokim. Now it showed that he also fears God. Shebemidas ahav levad lo haya yachol lamod b'nisayon. With the attribute of love, he couldn't have survived such a test.
Rabbi,
yeah?
I'm sorry. Your interpretation of the word fear of love, fear of God, is awe and reverence for God,
mm-hmm.
or fear like in punishment fear?
Awe and reverence is the higher level of fear of God. It's all one continuum.
If he wasn't afraid of killing his son, then there's no fear of punishment. This is the punishment. It's awe and reverence.
He's in awe.
Yeah, I would say more awe and reverence. I think Yisrael's point is very well taken. Right. Rak ata yadati. Now, the Torah says, now I know, ki yirei Elokim ata, that you are in fear of God. Maybe, v'zeu madichsiv, maybe that's why it says, v'yelchu shnehem yachtav, that the two went together. Al pi ma'ada amin me'ari ha-kadosh. It's like the Ari said, she'inyin ha'akeda hu milashon kishur. The akeda literally means the binding, the tying. She'midas ha-chesed, the attribute of love. His kashra im midas ha-gvura. It tied itself with the attribute of strength, of overcoming. U'midas ha-gvura, the attribute of strength, of overcoming, of doing what's necessary, even though it's not what I want. His kashra im midas ha-chesed. That came together with the attribute of love. Yesh Lefarish Bezet, to add to this. Shavram Avinu Nochach Liros, Avram Avinu here was shown. Ki b'nisayon hazen, this test, Einenu yachol le'echoz b'midas al midas ahav alechud. He can't just hold on to his attribute, the attribute of love. She'en dai b'zeh k'dei lamod b'nisayon ha'kasha hazeh. That wouldn't be enough to carry him through and to enable him to do it. V'arei u'tzarech gam l'midas hayira. He also needs the attribute of fear, of doing it because it's right, doing it with strength. She'rak al yedei ahava v'yira ke'echad, only with the merger together of love and fear, yuchal lamod b'nisayon, he'll be able to accomplish this. That's why it says they walked together. In other words, he attached himself to the attribute of Yitzchak. And by doing both the attribute of love with the attribute of fear, he was able to succeed.
How
to fulfill that. That's our tradition, that the seven great leaders each represents and each epitomized a particular aspect of the Almighty's relationship with the world. So Avraham epitomizes chesed, love. Yitzchak epitomizes gevura, strength, or yira, or fear. Yaakov is the merger of both together. Yaakov is tiferes, harmony, or rachamim, or mercy, or emes, or truth. These are all aspects of the merger. Moshe Rabbeinu is the attribute of netzach, of overcoming. Aaron HaKohen is the attribute of hod, of great submissive understanding of others. Yosef HaTzadik is the attribute of Yesod. Yesod is the attribute of tremendous strength and tremendous passion, tremendous force and tremendous balance, the ability to be in many worlds at the same time and not be affected by all those worlds, to go into the physical world and yet be so connected to the spiritual that the physical not affect in any way. And David HaMelech is the attribute of Malchus, the attribute of being aware of God, of singing about God, of being filled with God, of total subservience to God, totally accepting God as the real king. I'm just reflecting God as king, but God is the authority, God is king in the world. So Yitzchak is the attribute of din. In Yitzchak. But that's all an expression of strength. That's an expression of strength because chesed is creative, to do new things. The opposite of to do new things is to just stick with what's being done, not to be creative. Gevura, strength, is connected with the opposite of chesed. Chesed is connected with the idea of being creative. Yitzchak is not creative. If we actually look at Yitzchak's life, he doesn't do anything creative. He digs his father's well. He uses the same lines his father used. He does exactly what his father does, because that's gevura, that's strength. Strength is to repeat, to do the same thing. That's gevura. To keep repeating the same gemara again and again in order to remember it. That's gevura. Chesed is to learn a new gemara. But to keep repeating the same gemara, to keep remembering it again and again, to keep going back to the same old, same old, same old, that takes strength. That's gevura.
My point is that we know that in retrospect. At the end of Yitzchak's life, we know that. Because he dug the wells, he does that. Up to now, we don't know that.
No, we do. The Svarim teach, many of the books teach, that was Yitzchak's nature from birth. From birth, Yitzchak is associated very much with his mother. Because women have more gevura than men do. Women have more strength and a greater ability to stick at something and keep doing it again and again. Men want to try new ideas every day, another idea, another big plan of how to change the world. Whereas the women, they're much more with the strength, the gevura, to do the day in, the day out, to get it all right, to get the details right, with the strength, with the force. To not always have to be so creative, but to persist and to have strength, to have force, that's more the needs of women. Women have more gevura than men do. So Yitzchak was always mostly connected to his mother, Sarah, because Yitzchak initially was all gevura. Actually, in Yitzchak's relationship, Rivka has more chesed than Yitzchak does. And it's after the Akedah, after the binding of Yitzchak, that Rivka is born. And that out of Rivka and Yitzchak together will come Yaakov, who combines chesed and gevura. And that leads us to a very very comforting and very important point. One of the aspects of what made the Akedah so difficult was, as Alan mentioned, here Hashem had promised Avraham, you'll have descendants. That's his dream. What's Avraham's dream? He's always dreaming about descendants. The one thing he wants in his life is to see rooms filled with his descendants davening to Hashem and learning Hashem's Torah and fulfilling Hashem's mitzvos. This is his dream in life. It's all he wants. Hashem is now saying, go and give that all up. lose Yitzchak, offer him as a sacrifice. He thinks it means to really offer as a sacrifice, to lose the dream. What actually happens, though? What actually happens, though, is because he offers him up as a sacrifice, because he's willing to offer him, then Rivka is born. Because he's willing to do it, that's what allows the dream to happen. Because he was willing to give up the dream, then, at that very moment, when he's willing to give up the dream, Hashem puts in the next piece in place to enable the fulfillment of the dream. Rivka is born, and now Yitzchak can marry Rivka, and there can be descendants, there can be children. The dream can come true, because he's willing to give it up. And that's a tremendous lesson for us. You know, when we have great tests, we think, oi, we're being called upon to give up the great dream. So yeah, sometimes we should be willing to give up the great dream, and who knows? Maybe in the merit of giving up the dream, Hashem will then allow us to have the whole dream. The Sfasemis really loved this twist. The Sfasemis points out he found this concept in another phrase. The Torah says that Avram turns to his men, and he says, "Shvulachem po imachamor, you stay here with the donkey. Va'ani v'hanar, and I and the young boy, milcha, we will go ad ko." It's a very strange word, ad ko, till so. What does that mean? It should be, "Ani v'hanar, milcha ad sham, we will go till there, milcha ad shama, going till that direction. Milcha ad hahar, we'll go to the mountain." What does it mean? Milcha ad ko, we'll go till ko, till so. So Rashi says, ko yezaracha, so you will be your children as many as the stars, as many as the sand. What does that mean? Avram's telling the two men, stay here with the donkey, and we're going to go to the promise of millions of descendants. What does it mean we're going to the promise of millions of descendants? On the contrary, is going to offer Isaac and to lose the millions of descendants. So said the Sfasemis. Let's remember a little bit who Avram was. Avram is someone who his whole dream in life is to have descendants, to have children who are going to learn Torah and fulfill the mitzvot. That's what he wants. He wants to see yeshivos and batei medrash and shuls and Torah and mitzvot. That's what Avram is dreaming of. And Hashem now says, come and offer up your son. So Avram could say to himself, what about all the millions of mitzvos? If I offer my son, all those millions of mitzvos won't get done. They'll never be fulfilled. So maybe I should do a little sin. I'll neglect the mitzvah of today, God's direct command, in order to allow millions of mitzvos to be fulfilled. Avram didn't say that. Avram said, if God told me to do this command, if this is my mission right now, I know in the future, if I don't fulfill this mission, maybe in the future I'll have a really wonderful mission, what I really want, the mission of having many descendants. But right now God is telling me this is the mitzvah that I have to do. And this little pesky mitzvah stands in the way of all of my great dreams. So you know what it must be? This mitzvah is going to be equal to all those dreams. This mitzvah of offering Yitzchak is going to be equal to having millions of descendants learning Torah and davening and keeping mitzvahs. Because this mitzvah God has asked me to do at the cost of all of those mitzvahs. So it must be this mitzvah that God is asking me to do. God is telling me, do this, and this will count like all the others. So when Avram said, I'm going to go do this mitzvah, he said, I'm going to do this mitzvah with, you know how much feeling? With the feeling of all the millions of hours of Torah, of all the millions of moments of mitzvah fulfillment of all of history. That's how I'm going to go do this mitzvah. V'ani v'anar, I and the young boy, Nelchad Ko, we're going to go till the promise of Ko Yezaracha. We're going to do this mitzvah as if it's all the mitzvahs of all time. We're going to give up all of those mitzvahs. And we're going to have all of those mitzvahs in this little mitzvah. We're going to give it all up. That's our dream, but we're going to give up our dream. We're going to do all of that with this act. This act is going to equal all of that. And God said, you know what? Now you're going to have the children, you're going to have the dream, and you're going to have this mitzvah. And who knows? Maybe in the merit of being willing to give up all of the whole dream. That's the merit why you have the dream. That's the great trials of life. We have tests. In moments of trial and moments of test, Hashem takes away the inspiration. We don't feel excited. If we're doing something for the sake of millions of children, okay. But to do it to lose all the millions of children, that's the test, to keep going and to do it. And who knows, when we do it, maybe that'll, in fact, enable us to have the great dreams, to see the fulfillment of all the things that we're hoping and praying for. Yeah, Yisrael?
Question. I mean, is there any safeguards in this whole Akeda so people won't say in the future, I heard God told me to kill Yitzhak Rabin?
We don't have prophecy, so how could anyone say that? I think actually it's his yahrzeit tonight.
We have, this is like an over allow in our, not only tradition, in our religion, you're not allowed to harm another human being. Mm-hmm. So you're going to harm another human being because of order from above.
Prophet, that's part of prophecy, that a prophet can,
do we have anywhere else?
Can suspend a mitzvah. Is a temporary injunction. Part of the obligation of, or part of what the Torah teaches us about prophecy, I think it's in Sefer Dvarim, maybe in Parsha Shoftim, the Torah says there's a special mitzvah to listen to the prophet. The Rambam writes, how do you know who a prophet is? So the Rambam says he has to make multiple predictions to the last detail. They have to come true. He has to predict that, I don't know, in 3 months' time, on the first Monday at 10 a.m., it's going to rain for 20 seconds. And if it rains for 19, then he's not a prophet. He has to be making predictions that are impossible to imagine, impossible to have known in any way other than prophecy. And they have to come true multiple times, not just once or twice, multiple times. But once someone has been determined to be a prophet, the prophet tells us to violate a mitzvah on a one-time basis, we listen to him. Say the prophet says, as a matter of prophecy, that we're supposed to eat on Yom Kippur for this year, then we would eat on Yom Kippur this year. Or he would say that as a one-time basis we should offer a sacrifice to a pagan god, that would be the one exception. But other than that one exception, if he'd say we should offer sacrifices outside of the Beit HaMikdash, we would do that even though it's prohibited to offer sacrifices after the Beit HaMikdash, because that's part of the mitzvah of listening to the prophet. However, if the prophet says that God told him that there's a new Torah, he's not saying to do it on a one-time basis, but on a permanent basis to abrogate the Torah, then he's a false prophet and he gets put to death. But on a one-time basis, if a prophet says as a matter of prophecy, this is what has to get done, we have to listen to the prophet.
I think he should come with an attached disclaimer, small print to the Akeda for all the people who think they hear voices.
Well, to be a prophet, you have to, it's a process. Not
a
everyone can be a prophet.
They,
so then they're not prophets just because they think so. That doesn't give it to them.